Sometimes sci-fi just hits different, like that Star Trek Discovery episode, Battle at the Binary Stars.
Oh, definitely.
Beyond the phasers and starships, it really digs into some heavy stuff: identity, ethics, communication, things that honestly feel pretty relevant right now.
Totally. It's amazing how a story set light years away can reflect our own lives back at us. And we're not just going to recap it today.
No, definitely not.
We're diving deep using this great analysis by Mercedes Kosticki, originally on PlankSip.org. She uses the episode almost like a mirror for self-reflection.
Exactly, Mir. So our mission, if you will, for this deep dive is to unpack those themes Kosecki highlights. How can Burnham's journey, these clashes and choices, help you understand yourself, your relationships, maybe your own challenges a bit better?
Yeah, find those practical nuggets for personal growth.
Okay, so where do we start? Kosecki points to that flashback, right? Burnham and George's first meeting.
Yes. The idea that nobody happens out of nowhere, it's such a simple but profound point.
Right. We all have a history, a trajectory. All those experiences, relationships, choices, they build up. They make us who we are now.
Precisely. And understanding your own trajectory, your backstory, it's not just navel gazing, it gives context to your present. Why you react certain ways, what you believe.
Okay, so talk about that facticity thing she mentions. Sounds a bit philosophical.
It is a bit. It's an existentialist idea.
Yeah.
Basically, it means the given circumstances of your life, your past, where you came from, stuff you can't change. But, and this is key, your freedom operates within those facts. Knowing your past helps you see why you make the choices you do now.
So understanding that foundation, how does that actually help someone like today?
Well, think about patterns in your life. Maybe you always avoid conflict or you get defensive about certain topics, reflecting on where that might stem from in your past, maybe specific experiences. It brings awareness.
Oh, okay. So you can see the why behind the what.
Exactly. And that awareness gives you more choice in the future. Instead of just repeating the pattern unconsciously, it brings coherence, you know?
Coherence. I like that. Okay, moving on from the past. Burnham's situation after the mutiny. Kosecki uses this concept of reverse culture shock.
Which is brilliant, I think. We all know about culture shock going somewhere new, but reverse culture shock, coming back to what's familiar.
And finding it's changed, or you've changed, or both.
Yeah. And it's often more disorienting because it catches you off guard. You expect comfort, familiarity, and instead you feel adrift.
Kosecki mentions stages, right? Disengagement, then euphoria, then crisis.
And then hopefully readjustment. But for Burnham, it's like that turned up to 11. Kosecki calls it hyper RCS or even existential RCS.
Because she's human, raised Vulcan, back in a human-dominated Starfleet after this huge trauma.
Exactly. It's this fundamental clash within her. Vulcan logic versus human emotion, constantly battling it out.
So even if we weren't raised on Vulcan, thankfully,
Yeah.
how can understanding this extreme version help us?
Well, think about smaller versions. Coming back to work after parental leave, maybe, or seeing old friends after years apart. You feel out of sync sometimes,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, definitely. Things aren't quite the same.
Recognizing that feeling as a form of RCS, even mild, helps normalize it. It reminds you that change is constant, inside and out. It lets you be a bit kinder to yourself during those readjustment periods.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, another huge theme. That ethical tightrope Burnham walks. Do I do the right thing or do I follow the rules?
That's the core conflict, isn't it? Her mutiny is driven by her logic. She genuinely believes it's the right action to save lives, prevent war.
But then it shatters Starfleet protocol, breaks the rules, and the personal cost is immense.
It really highlights that tension, and Kosecki shares that powerful anecdote about her father, the cardiologist.
Right, who had helped patients end suffering but voted against legalizing euthanasia? That seems contradictory at first.
It does, but his reasoning was about the rule itself. He felt some rules, especially around life and death, need to set an incredibly high bar. Breaking them should be a monumental act, forcing deep reflection and acceptance of profound consequences.
So the rule isn't just an obstacle, it's a
Right.
safeguard, forcing deliberation.
Kind of, yeah. And Kosecki touches on different ethical frameworks, you know, like focusing on duty versus consequences, and even brings in some Jewish ethical ideas like saving a life overriding rules.
Tikkun nefesh.
Right, and going beyond the letter of the law. The point is, it's complex. And maybe, as Kosecki suggests, Burnham's failure wasn't just breaking the rule.
But her inability to navigate the system, to communicate why it was necessary.
Exactly, to bring people along, to articulate the necessity in a way that maybe could have worked within or at least adjacent to the rules.
That's a tough lesson. Being right isn't always enough. How you handle it matters. So for the listener, how can thinking about this rules versus right tension be useful?
Well, reflect on times you faced that. Maybe at work or in a group, you felt strongly something was right, but it went against policy or expectations. Mm. Thinking about Burnham prompts you to consider not just if you're right, but how to proceed. What are the consequences? How can you communicate effectively? How does the system work?
Which leads nicely into communication itself. That scene with Giorgio and Takuvma, painful to watch.
Oh, it's brutal. We come in peace.
No, you conquer, you assimilate. Total misfire. Words as walls, like Kostecki says.
And she uses Edward T. Hall's high context versus low context idea here, which is really helpful.
Okay, break that down quickly.
Sure. Low context, like the Federation tends to be, is direct. Words mean what they say, mostly. High context, like the Klingons here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it relies a lot on shared history, unspoken cues, the situation.
So Georgia's straightforward piece gets filtered through Takuvma's high-context lens of past Federation actions, which he sees as hostile.
Exactly. Complete disconnect. It even touches on linguistic relativity. Maybe the Klingon language itself shapes how they perceive peace as potentially threatening.
Wow. So how can understanding high and low context help us avoid those kinds of communication walls?
Well, think about your own style. Are you super direct? Do you assume people get your implied meaning? Recognizing your own tendency and trying to read the other person's context, it helps you adjust.
Maybe be more explicit sometimes.
Yeah.
Or pay more attention to what's not being said.
Precisely. It's about bridging that potential gap.
Okay, and tied into that is identity. Mm-hmm. Takuvma's big fear. The Federation will steal our individuality. Erase Klingon identity.
Yeah, that preservation instinct is powerful. Kostecki links it to social identity theory. You know, strengthening your in-group against a perceived out-group threat.
Protecting distinctiveness.
Yeah.
Protecting values.
And again, Burnham is the embodiment of this conflict internally. Human, but raised Vulcan. She's constantly navigating these different identities.
Living in that tension. So how can thinking about identity under pressure help the listener?
Well, we all juggle multiple identities, right? Work self, family self, cultural self.
Yeah.
Thinking about Takuvma's fear or Burnham's internal conflict helps us consider how we balance staying true to our core while adapting to different environments or people. How do we handle perceived threats to our values? It builds empathy for ourselves and others.
That's really useful. Okay, later on, there's that intense psychic chat between Sarek and Burnham.
Hmm, powerful moment.
She initially pushes him away, well then go, but he insists you are too gifted to give up. That line lands.
It really does. Kostecki points out Burnham's vulnerability there, maybe feeling unworthy of help. Sarek's affirmation cuts right through that.
It speaks to how hard it can be sometimes to accept help, to really believe in our own worth, our own gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kostecki suggests using those words, you are too gifted to give up, almost like a personal mantra when self-doubt kicks in.
So the takeaway for someone listening, what is it about inner worth and getting help?
Maybe reflect on whether you find it hard to accept compliments or lean on others. Do you sometimes feel you don't deserve support? Sarek's words remind us that recognizing our value is crucial, and accepting help isn't weakness. It shows others believe in our potential too.
And right after that, Sarek gives her concrete advice. Find a way to help the people who need you.
Which becomes a turning point. It shifts her focus outwards. Kostecki connects it to that great line from Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
Yeah. Sometimes the best way to solve your own problems is to help someone else.
Ah, I love that. It sounds counterintuitive, but...
But it works. Kostecki mentions her coaching experience, how helping clients often clarifies her own stuff. It provides a mirror, gets you out of your own head.
Like Viktor Frankl's dereflection.
Mm-mm.
Focusing outward eases inner turmoil.
Exactly that. It breaks self-absorption and can create meaning.
So how can embracing this power of service help someone listening? Practically.
If you're feeling stuck, maybe overwhelmed by your own issues, try focusing on helping someone else, even small acts. It can shift your perspective, create connection, and yeah, sometimes answers to your own problems pop up unexpectedly.
Interesting. Okay, another practical bit. Burnham wrestling with a Shenzhou's computer. Her persistence in asking the right questions.
Yes. Kostecki uses her father's lesson here, again, understanding how systems work. Not just the surface rules, but the underlying logic, the priorities.
Because if you understand the system, you can frame your questions effectively.
Right. It's often more about asking the right question than having the right answer immediately. Burnham wasn't trying to cheat the computer. She was trying to understand its programming to get the info she needed.
So how do we apply that to, like, dealing with bureaucracy or complex work projects.
Instead of just getting frustrated, try stepping back. How does this system actually function? What are its core principles? Understanding that underlying structure helps you ask smarter questions, find leverage points, and navigate it better.
It's about strategy, not just brute force.
Exactly.
And finally, towards the end, Burnham finds her footing. She declares service as her purpose.
A really defining moment. It taps into that deep human need for meaning, for purpose. Without it, we can feel lost, that existential vacuum Frankl talked about.
And Kostucki mentions Frankl's will to meaning, finding it through achievement or connection or how we face suffering, plus the existentialist idea.
That we create our own meaning. Existence precedes essence, as Sartre put it, through our choices, our commitments.
So whether you find purpose or create it, it's vital. Burnham chooses service. What should listeners take away from that about their own purpose?
It's an invitation to reflect, isn't it? What drives you? What gives your life meaning? Is it found in your work, your relationships, your passions? Thinking about your values and how you want to contribute? That helps cultivate that essential sense of purpose.
Wow. Okay, so looking back at this whole deep dive, using Mercedes Kostucki's analysis of Battle at the Binary Stars, it's pretty clear how much we can pull from it for personal growth.
Absolutely. Understanding our past, navigating change like RCS, the ethics of rules versus right, communicating better, managing identity, seeing our worth, the power of service, understanding systems, finding purpose, it's all in there.
It really is. And if these ideas, you know, resonated with you, if you're thinking, okay, I want to actually do something with this, commit to my own growth,
then the Transcendence community might be worth checking out.
Yeah, exactly. It's over at planksip.org. Join the Transcendence DAC community. It's basically a dedicated space for this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Daily self-reflection, structured practice, turning these insights we've been talking about into actual, tangible change in your life.
It's a private community designed to support that journey, helping you explore your values, build self-awareness, and really apply these principles consistently.
So it directly connects to everything we've just unpacked, providing a framework and support for that ongoing personal evolution.
Definitely. So maybe the final thought for everyone listening is, keep exploring. Mm-hmm. Keep using stories, like this one from Star Trek, as mirrors. What can they teach you about your own inner world and how you navigate the universe? The journey's ongoing.